Hello and welcome to the Money Nerds Podcast, where owning a calculator, budgeting your money, and having a net worth is actually cool. I'm your host, Whitney Hansen, and each week I'll be chatting with inspiring people to learn their secrets to financial success. Now let's dive into the show. Hey guys, welcome to our 50th episode. Holy crap, I cannot believe we have made it 50 episodes so far. In 2 weeks, I'm going to be doing a really fun podiversary kind of episode just to celebrate 1 year of this podcast being a reality. It's been really exciting, and I am so excited that you guys have been along for the journey the entire time. Today, I have a really fun guest that I was able to sit down with, Joe Saul Sehy. He is a rock star. You probably know his work from the award-winning podcast Stacking Benjamins. So we chatted a lot about his transition between financial advising into becoming a major podcaster, a big player in this game. So it was really a fun conversation. But before we get into that, I want to share an amazing money win from one of my coaching clients, Karen. Karen said, my credit score improved by over 20 points this month because of my debt decreasing by nearly $500. Hashtag money win. Karen, that is so awesome. And I'm so proud of you for doing that. I know one of your bigger goals is to buy a house. So that is going to definitely help you when you get to that point to buying the home. So I'm really, really crazy proud of you. Guys, don't forget, you can join the private Facebook group, Manage Your Money Like a Boss. Come hang out with me. That's where I spend a lot of my time online. I'm constantly connecting with people. There's almost 900 people in that group, so you will be in good company, and they are all very supportive people, so I think you'll get a kick out of it. It's fun, it's engaging, it's entertaining, and you will probably learn something. Manage Your Money Like a Boss, go search for it on Facebook or click the link in the show notes, whichever is easiest for you. All right, let's dive into today's episode. Joe Saul Sehy is a former financial advisor. He spent 16 years in the advising role. He represented American Express, Ameriprise in the media. He is co-creator of the multiple award-winning podcast, Stacking Benjamins. I can't even tell you how many times this podcast has won awards. It's incredible. It's entertaining. It's fun. Joe was the money man at Detroit Television, appearing twice weekly. He's appeared in Bride, Best Life, and Child magazines, the Los Angeles Times, Chicago Sun-Times, Detroit News, Baltimore Sun newspapers, all over the place. In fact, guys, he's been in over 200 different places, including CNBC and Wall Street Journal. In this episode, we talk about his podcast and transitioning from advising to becoming a teacher to creating the award-winning podcast, how he'd made that transition. We talk about when he traded his soul for a blanket, the big mistake we make with our financial life, the best way to stop yourself from overspending on your credit card, the really scary time when he wasn't really making very much money and creditors were calling, stressful stuff, but it actually led to a really great family hobby. So he talks a lot about that. And if you are a Joe fan, you do not want to miss an opportunity to hear Joe sing the famous and ultra patriotic God Bless My Underwear. Joe was kind enough to offer Money Nerds listeners 10% off his Stacking Benjamins courses by using code Whitney when you check out. That means, guys, that you can save some cash while learning a lot of different topics. One of his courses is called How to Legally Cheat on Your Taxes. And my personal favorite is Save 50. It's a course that teaches you how to save 50% of your income. Don't be a naysayer. Go check it out. I think you will learn a ton. And later this year, you're going to find a new course called Finding Benjamins that helps you, you guessed it, find more money. Remember, you can go to learn.stackingbenjamins.com and use code Whitney when you check out to save 10% off of one of those amazing courses. You're going to love meeting my friend, Joe Saul Sehy from Stacking Benjamins podcast. Hey there.
Whitney.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
I am a hot mess this morning, but I'm doing pretty good. Joe, I am so excited to chat with you. I've been on your show before. I loved it. I had such a great time. Stacking Benjamins podcast. Phenomenal. And if I understand correctly, you just won a recent award at Podcast Movement. Is that right?
Oh my God. You want to see this award?
Yes, please.
This is the heaviest thing ever. We couldn't pack it in our... in our luggage.
It's
so we got
beautiful.
This. Why, thank you. It even has an on-off switch. So no. Yeah, that doesn't work. But anyway, I had to check my luggage because this wouldn't. Apparently, I could use this as a weapon. I wouldn't think to use it as a weapon.
Just bang somebody against the head. I guess. Yeah.
I was surprised though. I mean, Money Nerds wasn't on the list. That was a huge. I don't know what happened. I wrote to them, said what's going on, but Tim Ferriss was on the list. Pat Flynn, Michael Stelzner. The How I Built This, Planet Money, those were the other nominees. I thought there's no way we're going to win. And when they said our name, actually, we sat in the back row because I was sure we were going to lose. And we were just going to snap a picture of our name on this big screen so we could go drinking. And then they said our name. I'm like, I didn't have a speech. I had nothing prepared. So.
I don't think you need a speech at this stage in the game. I mean, you've been at podcasting for a long time. How long now?
5 years. Yeah.
Five years.
Which anything else for like a five-year-old's nothing, right? I mean, they're just going to school. Things are starting in this career. It makes you a grandpa,
which is so crazy.
Isn't that weird?
It's almost sad, but yeah, you're spot on. So tell me about the inspiration behind starting the podcast. Where did you actually begin and why did you choose a podcast as your channel?
I was a financial planner for 16 years and was a media representative for Ameriprise and American Express. One of 12 people. Financial planners can't say anything to the media without having compliance first. But I went through extensive media training, so I was one of 12 people in the nation that could talk first and then do compliance later. And so they would have me do all kinds of media appearances. When I sold my business at 39 and then decided at 40 that I was going to do other things, I listened to podcasts a lot, but I didn't think, and people kept saying, well, with all your experience, you should have a podcast. And I had nothing to say that other people weren't saying. Like, I didn't want to be Dave Ramsey. I didn't want to be, the Money Guys. I didn't want to be any of these shows that were been out for a long time. And then I was running one day and I heard Car Talk, and it's Car Talk, for those people that don't know, is this car show. These two brothers, Click and Clack, they call themselves, who talk about cars, but you don't learn crap about a car. Right. Like you learn nothing. And then I realized there was nobody doing Car Talk. And I love that kind of thing. And I listen to Car Talk all the time. And I said, okay, there's my show. And so we set off with this idea of having a money show where if you learn anything, keep it to yourself. That's your problem. We don't want to be spreading rumors that anybody's learning anything about money listening to Stacking Benjamins.
I think that's really cool. So has it evolved since when you first started?
It has. We kind of embraced funny at the start. We didn't fully embrace it until about 2 years in. About 2 years in, we realized we had to embrace dorky dad humor funny. And really, once that happened, you saw our audience really expanded much more quickly. Once we said, you know what, this is our niche, let's just live it. We're in my mom's basement recording, and my mom's creepy neighbor Doug is our announcer guy. And so the second we decided that's us, that was great. The hard thing was figuring out how to explain to our audience that it's different. Because if you see any of the horrible reviews we've gotten on iTunes, it's because people go in with the wrong expectation. People say, you know what, the signal to noise ratio is really low. Mm-hmm. Or they say there's not enough nuggets. And it was hard for me to create a show where I could signal to the listener immediately that you weren't going to get nuggets and the signal to noise ratio was going to be low. And I don't really care. Like people said, I remember an early bad review we got where people said, well, the jokes aren't that funny. And what they wanted us to do was quit joking around and just give nuggets. Instead, we started taking comedy classes, which is not what this reviewer wanted us to do. Started taking more comedy classes so that we could make the jokes funnier.
That is incredible. I love that you took that next step to make your podcast even better and to stand out too. And then brought in a little bit of humor and fun because money is such a serious topic. And it doesn't really need to be. I think we all make money mistakes. We all see funny things and we're like, why did we do that? I don't understand.
Well, that's what I love about your brand. I mean, Money Nerds and the whole Whitney Hanson brand about money. I mean, you know more than anybody, Whitney, that we need to talk about money more. This idea that it's a taboo. When I was growing up, every time my parents were talking about money, if I walked in the room, they'd stop. right? Mm. And even though you don't need to scare your children when it comes to money, I think this idea of teaching your kids about money and involving them in some of the conversations at an early age is a really powerful thing and can give kids this huge leg up that they will, you know, as a parent, you'll never regret.
Yeah, I'm with you. So take us back to that point, because if I remember correctly, your dad was a manager at GM. Is that right?
Yeah, nice job.
And did he actually teach you about money, or what was the difference like?
No. That was the cool thing. The thing I learned from my dad was a lot about hard work, because my dad rose to a level at General Motors where you had to have a college degree, and he was the one person, when he worked there anyway, he was the one person in all of GM that didn't have a college degree that reached his level. They had to make a special exception for him. And it was purely hard work, dedication, realizing that success isn't kissing up to your boss. It's making the people that work for you want to work for you, which I still think is the powerful thing. But so he taught all that. But when it came to money, it was, you know, just like it was with his parents. You do not talk about it. I went to college at this place, the Citadel, the Military College of South Carolina. Mm-hmm. And when I went there, this military school, day three or four, I walked into the student union called Mark Clark Hall. And they had a table there where I could get, I don't remember if it was a stadium blanket or a frisbee. I got something if I signed up for an American Express card. Which is hilarious, because I ended up representing, if you remember a few minutes ago, I ended up representing them in the media, right? So I signed up for this card. I'm at a military college. I have no way to pay a bill. I can't have a part-time job. And when we first got leave, like 3 weeks later, I have my brand new shiny green American Express card. I took all my friends to lunch. I paid for it.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And I bought a sweater. I went to Nordstrom, right?
Oh,
Nordstrom.
Yeah, of course.
And I should have had the sweater so I could show you just how ugly the sweater is, because I've kept it in my closet.
You kept the sweater?
Well, yeah, as a reminder of just how stupid this was. And so 2 months later, my American Express card was taken away because I didn't pay the bill. I called my mom and I said, Mom, I have this problem. She's like, what's your problem? I said, I got this American Express card. She goes, why? Why? And what I should have said at the time, but I didn't realize this, is I should have said, because we never had talked about money growing up, because this is the first time I've ever encountered a credit card is when I'm at college alone, right?
Of course.
And I think it's free money. So, but she said, well, you got into the debt, get yourself out. And I immediately ruined my credit because I couldn't get myself out. That was horrible.
How'd you get out of the debt then? What'd you do?
Well, you know, it's fine. The debt got written off. I mean, the debt, seriously,
oh, no
seriously.
Way.
Yeah, it was already in collections by the time that I came home in the summer and could finally have a job. And I paid it off out of collections. But yeah, it was, I mean, my debt, my credit literally was destroyed from the time I was 18.
So talk to me a little bit about that. So emotionally, what were you going through when that process was going down?
Oh, that's a ton of coping, like a ton of, well, at first it's anger, right? It's anger at my parents. I mean, it seriously was anger at my mom that she wouldn't bail me out. Mm. I really think that, excuse me, I really think that it was me then blaming everybody else for what was really my problem. Now, was it my parents' problem to some degree? Yeah, it was. But still me, come on, what am I thinking? Walking up to this stupid table going, yeah, okay, free money, deal. Like, there's never free lunch. Who thinks that there's that free lunch? So that was bad. And then as the creditors start calling me, right, then creditors can harass you now. They could harass you even worse back then. There have been some laws since then. But, oh, my goodness, some of the credit calls that I got, you know, can't you borrow the money? Can't you do whatever, all these things? And I'm a college freshman. That was bad.
Man, that is crazy. Well, I'm glad those rules are getting put into place too, where they can't, I mean, they can still harass you, but not to that same level at all, which is great. But I mean, I've heard really terrible stories and read some articles on people that have actually committed suicide because they're being harassed so much. It's awful.
Yeah. Later on, I had a year, I've written about this before, I had a year where I didn't make any money. And I was a financial planner. I had a big chargeback, which I won't even go into what that is. But basically, I owed the company I worked for a bunch of money because of something that had happened. But anyway, so I had a whole year. And during that time, I was in complete financial trouble again. I pulled myself out of this early life thing, and now I'm in financial trouble again. And I remember getting calls just nonstop. And I can imagine people wanting to commit suicide because of these people. Like, you would pour your heart out to these people. You would tell them all that you finally think somebody seems nice, and immediately they just turn on you and stick the knife in your back. Forget all those people, pay me back. And you know what's funny? When you know how credit works, if somebody's watching this and they're in credit trouble, what you know is you have to ignore those people because those aren't your problem. Those people are already, the damage is done, right. And that's going to be on your credit report if it's in collections. So forget those idiots. Anything that's current, make sure you keep that current, because that's your salvation and that's how your credit's going to start getting better.
That's damn good advice too. And I know you're full of a lot of good advice, especially from being in the financial industry for 16 plus years. So tell me about the transition between, was it creative writing and English major and then moving into the financial industry? What the hell happened there, man?
I know somebody didn't get the memo that I didn't know anything. So I was working at a water treatment plant because, believe it or not, well, water treatment company, rather, because, believe it or not, creative writing majors don't get jobs. I don't know if you know this. Unless you're going to write the next great American novel, you can't walk into an engineering firm and say, I want a job. Right. So I hadn't thought that through. And I was going to write the next great American novel and didn't end up doing that. So I was managing the telemarketing department for this company, and a friend of mine that I work with at Michigan State University, who was in finance, had gotten a job with this company that ended up being American Express Financial Advisors. He called me and said, and this is a quote, Whitney, he said, "We don't usually hire people like you, but I think you'd be good at this." And it was true because I'd grown up a farm boy. I didn't know what an engineer was. I thought that was the dude that drove the train, right? And so I had no clue, but I have an engineering personality, and I always want to know how things work. I should have gone into logistics because I love process management. I love supply chain management. I think that's phenomenal. Like, I read about that stuff for fun today.
God bless you.
Oh, I love it. It's so fun. Like, how something gets made and gets to the consumer is amazing to me. And even in our business, right, how the podcast gets made. Mm-hmm. I love perfecting that chain of how do we make that process go smoother. But I didn't know any of that. So so he was right on. And I came at finance from the very beginning as a guy that doesn't understand it, guy that's messed up everything, guy that doesn't know all the jargon terms. And I understand when people don't know the jargon, which I think is why I got into the media side right away. Mm-hmm. Was because I had this uncanny ability to talk about money like I didn't know what was going on, because I've been that guy. I totally hadn't known what was going on.
I think it's smart too, especially on the media side. If you aren't throwing out the jargon and you're not talking about all the crap that confuses people, I think it makes you more approachable and it makes people more willing to learn this kind of stuff.
Because, it scares people.
Oh God, it's terrifying.
Right. I mean, there's that new movie that just came out. We interviewed the director on the show, the movie about Will Ferrell and Amy Poehler. And they don't, and the name is, I'm blanking on the name. Mm-hmm. But anyway, it's called The House. And they realized their kid got into a great college, and they realized that they'd never saved any money, right? And there's a great scene in that movie where they went into their financial advisor and said, no, there's been a big mistake. See, we have on this sheet of paper, it says we have $400,000. And the woman looks at them and it says, no, it says you have a 401k, oh. not $401,000. But that's everybody. Like, I've been lucky that over my career, I probably met with, I don't know, 800 or 900 people, 800 or 900 families. And you talk to people and we're all doing the same goofy stuff. We're asking the same dumb questions like what does 401k mean? Right. Nobody knows. Let's get rid of the jargon.
Right. I like that. So from working with 800 to 900 different families, what are some of those like common patterns that you see that normal people are making on a daily basis that maybe we can fix and not do all that often?
Well, I'll tell you the first one. There's two. The first one actually isn't a problem people a train wreck they're having, it's what we do in our head. Mm. And what we do in our head all the time is we ask this question: how am I doing compared to Whitney? How am I doing compared to this person? Everybody's asking that. When people come into my office and they'd say, so how am I doing versus your average client? It's irrelevant. Doesn't matter.
Totally.
It's you versus your goal. Forget about everybody else. Doesn't matter. And you know what? If I answered that honestly, everybody else sucks too. Everybody else is doing crappy. You're actually doing well. Now, the bad news is you're not going to reach your goal, but you're doing better than most people. So if I tell you doing better than most people, why do we do that though?
Like, why are we comparing our financial lives to everybody else's?
Well, I think we're neurotic about it because nobody talks about it, right? I mean, shows like yours and shows like mine, but those are uncommon. And, you know, you look at the audience size of a financial podcast versus one about pro wrestling. Like, we can't find anybody that wants to talk about this versus, you know, stuff that doesn't matter. So that's number one. Number two is people, when they have credit card debt, and this, I can't tell you how many times I told this story to people that walked into my office with credit card debt. They wanted to just pay down the debt. They wanted to immediately take every extra dime they had and they wanted to put it directly toward the credit card. And what they didn't want to do were the two things that were important. Number one was change the behavior, because the behavior is the problem. If I take every dollar and I pay off the credit card debt and I don't change this motion of taking my credit card and handing it to the clerk, I'm going to continue to have the problem. And then number two is, if I take every dollar and I pay it off toward the credit card debt and I don't have an emergency fund in place,
right,
I now am going to have to continue to use plastic every time something happens. And you know what? I've got two choices in that instance, Whitney. I can, number one, I can stop things from ever coming up again, right, while I pay off my debt, which isn't going to happen. Bad things are going to happen. I'm going to have, you know, I'm going to have to go to for money at some point. The muffler's going to drag by in the car. My dishwasher's going to quit running. Or I can have this emergency fund in place so that I pay off the debt maybe a little slower than if nothing ever came up. But now when I pay off the debt, I pay it off for good. And now I've also built that habit of using cash. Because even though you hear people, and even me, I use reward points today for stuff. I'll use reward points because I lived an all cash lifestyle for a long time. And I realized that using credit is horrible if you don't pay it off every month.
Yeah.
But once you know that and you build that muscle, then play the credit card reward game. But first, build an all cash lifestyle for yourself so that you get rid of these horrible, horrible habits of using somebody else's money.
Totally fair. And one of the things that you probably hear, and I hear all the time too, especially with the all cash lifestyle, which I am also a big fan of, I think that's the best way to get your expenses in control, is I don't want to carry that much cash around. You know, like how much money? What if I get robbed on the street? What if I lose it? Do you hear that stuff very often?
I do, and it's okay to carry a credit card, but to use it is bad. Like, you need to have this feeling when you take the credit card out of your wallet of, mm-hmm. Oh my God, what am I doing? This is the worst thing I could ever be doing. Right. So if you've got one credit card that's your emergency credit card, I like putting it, you know how with your ATM card they give you that sleeve that it comes in?
Oh yeah.
I like taking my credit card and putting it in that sleeve just so it's one more action. So not only do I have to take it out of my wallet, I then have to take it out of the sleeve, which is even more time for me to go, what am I doing? This is the dumbest thing ever. Don't do this. So yeah.
You are killing me. That is so funny that you said that, because that's something that I recommend with all my coaching clients too. I'm like, you know, those little things that you get for free at conferences, just put your card in there or tape your budget to your card. And people yes. look at me like, that is really nerdy. I'm like, hey, it works, man.
Yeah, whatever. It doesn't matter how nerdy it is. If it works, do it. Like, I now don't carry. I know that credit's dangerous, so I don't carry cash anymore. You know why? Because cash in my wallet, I just blow it. I have no idea why. If I go into a gas station, if I have to go in for whatever reason, use the restroom or whatever, I will look at my wallet, and if I've got cash, I'm buying a snack. If I don't have cash, I don't. So you know what? So now I'm the opposite. I never carry. I'm afraid of credit, and I never carry cash. And what I found is I lost weight because I didn't have the bad snack. I didn't need the snack. Like who needs a Snickers, you know? You really
know. This girl does, you know?
I get hangry sometimes. Right.
Why wait, man? I mean,
gotta have it now. So.
That is so funny. So you lost weight. You started getting your expenses and your spending under control. Mentally, how did you start feeling about yourself?
Oh, you feel so much. You know what's funny is at first you feel horrible. Well, here I think this is the string, right? And I just thought of this just now, but I think this is the string. You start off feeling so motivated because you're on this new path, right? I'm going to change everything. I'm going to get my act together. Life is going to be great. I'd say it's probably about day three that the hurt feeling starts, where you're like, really, I'm not spending money? And you're thinking almost like a diet. You start thinking about all the things you could be spending money on that you're not. Man, that video game, if I could get that video game, I need it. And what's funny is you didn't need it before you started this diet with your money. But now that golf game, it's huge. It's going to change my life, Whitney. It's going to be amazing.
I know. It's PGA, man. I mean, right. Call of Duty, baby.
Right. Right, and all of a sudden I'm online, and who knows why I end up on all these video game review sites that say the game's awesome, but I'm just feeding it. So then I go through this world of hurt where life sucks. But then, and this is to Dave Ramsey's point about paying off debt, he talks about, you know, use the debt snowball method, not because it's efficient, but because it builds these little wins. You start having these wins where you see your bank balance get bigger. And get bigger. And then when you start seeing that, wow, I saved $20, I saved $50, I saved $100, I saved $500, I saved $1,000. And now when you actually talk about video game, when you gamify the process and you're like, okay, if I can save $5 today, if I can do that today, that'll be great. And then the next day you're like, you know, I saved $5 yesterday. If I can save $5.25 today and get my new high score, that'll be fantastic. And then at least this is the way it works with me. Mm-hmm. When I gamify after a while and I start seeing these wins built up, I want the wins quicker because I get that feeling. There's got to be a chemical rush. I haven't done the research, but I'm sure there's a chemical rush like shopping when you find yourself saving more money. And that's what happened to me. And I'd see it with clients too, where they'd, I had a client one time that they came to meet with me just before Christmas and just before the holidays. And we put together this plan. And it was funny because I said, you know, you usually spend $2,000 around the holidays. Wow. What do you want to do this year? And they looked at each other and they said, what if we spent nothing? And I went, whoa, easy, Geller. You don't got to go that far. That's fine. Yeah, but it's funny because they took each other's hand. This was really cool. They took each other's hand and they said, no, let's really get back to like togetherness and the reason why we do this. And they told their whole family, you're not getting anything. They told their kids. They had two young kids. They're like, you know what? We're going to enjoy each other this year. And when they met with me again in January, not only did they save that $2,000 that they had usually spent for the holidays, but they said they had the best holiday season ever. Because now they got into the stuff that they really liked, which was each other. They like, we played games. We enjoyed each other's company. Christmas morning, not the way it usually was. A little weird. But the rest of it was just incredible.
You're touching on a really cool point that I want to dig into a little bit more. And that's this like notion of, we feel like we have to spend money on people and on experiences in order to actually enjoy our lives. And it sounds like for your coaching peeps, that's not what was going on. It was more about, we don't have to spend money to have this artificial fun or this whatever we're trying to build. Talk to me a little bit about that. Have you experienced that yourself, where you thought you needed to spend money in order to have a good time?
Well, in the early days, you know, and I felt really sorry for myself the year that I wasn't making money. Then I had two young kids. I have twins that are 22 now. But when they were little, we had zero cash. We've got creditors calling us and we couldn't do anything. And so at first I felt really bad for myself. I wanted to take my kids to, you know, nice trips. Wasn't going to do that. You know what we did? We took up hiking. We took up hiking and we took up bird watching. And that's when I learned that it wasn't about money. Yeah, my father-in-law had this great book about birds. And we took this book And it was birds that were in Michigan where we lived at the time. And we found hiking. We went to the library. We found a book about hiking paths in the Lansing area where we lived. And we found every single hiking path. And on a weekend, we would find a hiking path and we would pack a picnic. And we would find the far part of the trail, and we would have a picnic out in the woods at the far part of the trail. And we would spend $0 on a weekend. And really, in my head at first, all I was doing was killing time, where I would have been spending money to not spend money. Like, hiking was awesome because you're out in the middle of the woods and you're not spending money. Later on, that became something that as a family we did for fun. Like, we did because we loved it more than spending money. Like, hiking was fantastic. By the way, if you're going to take up hiking and you're going to do it with kids, there's this time that we call the bitching time, which is my kids would whine for the first like mile of the hike. I don't want to be out here. This really stinks. And once your kids realize that you're out there, and you're not going to walk back to the car, right? That you're not going to go watch TV. Then all of a sudden they start talking about stuff. And we would have the best talks out in the woods. But they had to get used to the fact that the hikes were longer. So when we finally took a vacation right after the year with no money, we went down, we started at Shenandoah National Park in the Appalachians. And we did this great ride called the Blue Ridge Parkway. And we took all these hikes. But my kids then were expert hikers. And Just one short story about that. So I taught my kids at the campfire one night this song, and it's called God Bless My Underwear. Have you ever heard this song?
No. Are you going to sing it for us?
Oh, I will. It's so because I learned it when I was a Cub Scout. I taught my kids this, and it goes, God bless my underwear. Like the theme is like God bless America. My only pair, stand beside it and guide it. From the washer to the dryer to my drawer, from the washer to the dryer, to the clothes basket to my drawer. God bless my underwear, my only pair. God bless my underwear. And so anyway, we're going down. There's lots of points down the Blue Ridge Parkway that intersects with the Appalachian Trail. So you meet these hardcore hikers that are hiking a big part of the Appalachian Trail. And we're walking one day, and my son's singing this at full blast, God bless my underwear. And about a quarter mile after, maybe half a mile after we stop, we come across this guy who's just brown with dirt and sun, and he's got a pack, and you can tell he's been out there forever. And he stops, he goes, I just have to tell you, for the last mile, I've heard your son singing, and you have the most patriotic family. Like, he had no idea what my son was singing. He thought we were singing God Bless America. He's like, I just love how patriotic your family is. That's so nice. Like, yeah, we're not.
You're like, America, you bet.
That's right. We didn't tell him.
I don't think
we
just would have either.
We just said, thank you very much.
That's so cute. My fiance and I go hiking too, and I love it. He literally despises it. He thinks it's the worst thing in the world.
So really?
Oh, he hates it. We were hiking in Kauai. Like, we're on the Nepali coast. It's beautiful. There's oceans and just beautiful. And it was very humid. So he's legit dying on this trail, like holding onto the rock, like, oh God, like can barely breathe. And this is the best. This like 70-year-old lady comes up to him. She's like, are you okay? Do you need some help? I'm like, he's fine. Leave the guy alone.
He's just a whiner. He's just a whiner.
It's the 1 mile bitch fest. That's exactly what it's
right, like. Exactly. It's exactly what it is. You just get him past the mile and he realizes he's going to be out there just like my kids, Whitney. Yeah.
See, mine's like a 10 mile, but you know, it's like, it's rough. So the whole time. And then we get done. I'm like, wasn't that fun? No.
Wow. Like, oh, wow.
I know. So I need to start hiking with your family.
I guess so.
I'm adopting myself in. You didn't realize that, but.
That is good. They still love hiking today. In fact, my son told me that he went to a national park recently, Big Bend National Park, specifically with a friend of his to go hiking. And I'm like, cool. So,
that's so cool.
It translates, yeah.
Well, and it's such a good way to support. I mean, it's a pretty inexpensive thing. I think a national park pass for an entire year is like $80. So it's really reasonable. And you're not spending a ton of money. You can go out there, you can hike, you can get your nature fix. I think it's a cool way to go.
It is so fun. It's so absolutely fun.
So tell me a little bit about what you're working on now that you're especially excited about.
But I love just meeting new people. I love when you were on the show. I thought that was fun. We're creating some courses now, because even though our whole show is based on the science of play, and we really have spent a long time learning the science of play, I still want people to get something out of it if that's what they want. Like, if they really want nuggets, I don't want them to stop at the show. I want them to be able to get nuggets. So we're creating a course now called Finding Benjamins. When I was a financial planner, I had this sheet that I laminated that was, when somebody came to me, every single thing in their budget where they could maybe save a few more dollars. So everything from, you know, programmable thermostats at their house to using their grocery store app, to the big stuff like changing your withholding at work so that you're not getting this huge tax refund, to changing your cell phone plan. You can make a bunch of money there. So taking all of those things and putting them in one course, we're working on that now. And obviously, you know, just writing the shows. I love waking up and working on something where we're creating just fun for my mom's basement. What's the next dumb thing that we can have my mom's neighbor Doug do? We had somebody on who was doing Airbnb and the whole sharing economy stuff, which I love talking about. Doug decided to participate, so he was going to take his utility closet, call it a spacious spare bedroom, and advertise it. And nobody was coming. Halfway through the show, nobody was coming. So my mom upstairs was making broth. So he loved the smell of broth. And he decided if he could get some of this and serve it, he could have the hotel and serve them broth. And that would be like the factor, Whitney, that would make people finally come. So here's what he did. He just, you know, because advertising is everything in marketing, and you come up with these cool names, right? I mean, on the internet, everybody like take out all the vowels. That makes it cool. He decides he's going to take a hotel and broth, and he'll call his a brothel.
Oh, no.
and it'll be fantastic. And it's when you write stuff like that that you go, oh, my God, this is a fun job. Like, I just absolutely, absolutely love it. Yeah. And Doug,
cool.
Doug ends the show by saying, and thank you to Sergeant Simpson at the Texarkana Police Department for reminding me that there's actually two definitions of the word brothel. Who knew?
Who knew? I think it's great. Well, you're phenomenal at what you do, too, and I think that's really cool. I have a really good time listening into your show, and I appreciate your humor a lot. It's a little dry sometimes, and I think it's perfect, which is why I'm like, this is so great. Like, there's sometimes, if you're not paying attention, that you wouldn't quite pick up on it. Then you hear it, and you're like, what did they just say?
That's good. The humor's for us.
Oh, it's wonderful. I love it.
And I love that. I'm glad you said that, because I do love that kind of humor where it goes 3, 2, 1, you just got it. Right? We're like, whoa, yeah.
There it is. Yep.
Yeah. I love that. You know, a comedian I like, Emo Phillips, is a guy, a comedian I really like, who has jokes like that all the time. He talks about, you know, I'm driving down the road and I'm trying to change it, and I'm swerving all over. Driving down the road and I'm swerving all over the place because I'm trying to change the radio. And just as I get the old one out, this cop pulls me over, and that joke like went right over my head. I'm like, what? But that's exactly where that comes from.
I love it. This is so great. Joe, this has been a ton of fun. I appreciate you sharing some of your time with us and your story to doing what you're doing today. I know you're inspiring a lot of people, and I think your podcast is amazing. If people have oddly never heard of it, where do they go to find your podcast?
Yes. After you're done listening to Money Nerds, you can listen to us. You'll get much more out of Whitney's podcast than you will out of ours. But wherever you find podcasts, every Monday, Wednesday, Friday is the Stacking Benjamin Show.
I love it. Joe, thanks so much. I hope you have an awesome day. Appreciate your time.
Thanks. You too, Whitney.
All right. So what did you guys think? I loved this episode with Joe. One of the things that he kept mentioning that I thought was so true and so worth noting is how we often compare our own financial lives to somebody else, when realistically, it doesn't freaking matter. It doesn't matter what your friend is doing or what stage they're at. All that matters is, are you progressing? And I thought that was a really great reminder, because it's so easy to get caught up in the nitty gritty, the day to day, the comparison game, especially with social media and all of these other platforms too. And we're always trying to benchmark ourselves, when sometimes there really is no best benchmark other than, are you personally progressing with your financial life? That was the message I really resonated most with. And I also appreciated his concept of, when he saved up a lot of money, when he sold his business and decided he was going to, you know, take a year or two and become a teacher, do something that he actually loves. I thought that was cool too. And it was just a good reminder that money gives you options. So I hope that you guys took those notes as well, and that that resonated with you too. And now I'd love to hear from you. What did you like about this show? Let me know. Leave a review on iTunes and make sure you're subscribing to get all of the latest episodes directly downloaded to your favorite podcast player. It means the world to me, and it really helps the show's ratings. So I appreciate you doing that. It really does mean a lot. All right, guys, that is it for today. Thank you so much for joining in, and I will see you next week for another episode of the Money Nerds Podcast. Bye.